Okay, so today is Wednesday, September 14th, 18th of Elul, and it is Parshat Ki Tavo. And this Parsha. Hi! Welcome.
We're coming in this way. I'll
Okay,
come out
great.
this
Thank
way,
you.
okay?
Welcome.
Thank
We're
you.
doing hybrid, so we have a bunch of people on Zoom and here. I'm going to try to talk to everybody in person and also my computer where everyone's on Zoom. So Parshat Ki Tavo, which is made up primarily of the curses. It also has a very famous line that you all know, everybody on this call knows. My father was a wandering Aramean from the Passover Seder. So this is what people, when they would come to the temple and bring their first fruits to the Kohen, they would recite that as they said it. But we're not talking about that today. It also has the curses. This Parsha Ki Tavo and Behar both have curses, and the rabbis set up the parshas so that we would always read Behar before Shavuot with the horrible curses, before we get the Torah as a reminder, grounding us. And this week, Ki Tavo, we always read before Rosh Hashanah, the second set of curses. So we are going to focus in on just one aspect. We're not going to focus on We're going to focus in on just one aspect of the curses. And sorry, one second. Just do not disturb. Okay. But before we get to that, we're going to focus on one line that seems to have some intertextual dialogue between other texts throughout Tanakh. And we're going to see. So we're going to see the first time that this idea is mentioned is in Parshat Noach. So in Parshat Noach, Noach sends the dove out. So it's the first source on the sheet, and you can all see it there. Vayishlach et hayona mi'ito lir'ot hakalo hamayim me'al p'nei adamah. So he sent out the dove that was with him to see if the waters had abated, had lightened from on the face of the earth. And then the bolded is what we're going to focus on. Velo matzah hayona manoach. And the yona did not find a resting place. Does that sound familiar to anybody? Right, the famous song, which we're going to see at the end, that we sing Shabbos day, right? But it's a little different. How is it different? Right, so in the song, the dove actually finds a place to rest. And here in the verse, the dove did not find a resting place, lichaf ragla, for its foot, v'tasheva la, so therefore it returned to Noach el hateva, to the ark, kimayim al pnei kol ha'aretz, because the water was still covering the entire land. And so Noach stretched forth his hand and took it and brought it back into the ark. Then, if you know the story, 7 days later, Noach sends a dove again, and the dove returns with an olive branch, which is why that's like our symbol of peace, because it meant that the trees were showing, and the dove then was able to find a place to rest, which we're going to get to also at the end of this year. Okay, so what I want to start out with in terms of all the imagery and metaphors that we're going to go into here, finding place to rest, is the idea of the dove. So in Shir Shirim, the Song of Songs, we have a lot of dove energy, imagery. And it says, Yonati b'chagve hasela b'seter hamadrega. So my dove in the clefts of the rock, in the coverture of the steps. Har'eni et mar'ayich, show me your appearance. Hashmi'eni et kolach, let me hear your voice. Ki kolech arev umarech nava, because your voice is pleasant, is sweet, and your appearance is comely or beautiful. And we see, for some reason, my Bar Ilan USB, I don't know, I'm getting an upgrade actually, does not have the Aramaic translation of the books in the section of writings where Song of Song is, Shir Hashirim. So I had to get it from somewhere else to show you. So Yonati b'chagve hasela, the dove in the clefts of the rock, zo knesset Yisrael. The dove in the Song of Songs represent the people of Israel, the children of Israel, shenim shela leyona, that they're compared to a dove. Okay? So first we have the dove could not find a resting spot. And then we have this idea that the Jewish people are a dove somehow. Okay. So going on, now we get to our parsha, Devarim Perek Kaf Chet. So, hi. Okay, so nice. If you hear everybody's
noise,
don't worry.
Is there someone sitting here?
No. So you'll have to. Everyone have to let me know what they think of this hybrid system. So okay. Oh, and I have to go.
People around me.
Okay. So now we finally get to this week's parsha, and you'll see it's very similar. So this is after all the curses. You can see it's a very long chapter with the curses. This is already verse 64 of chapter 28, one of the longest chapters. So at the end, V'hafitzcha Hashem b'chol ha'amim, the Lord's going to scatter you among all the nations, mikzeh ha'aretz ve'ad kzeh ha'aretz, from one end of the earth to another. And as you read this, and as you read some of the curses, and this is really what we're going to explore today, you see how, whether you believe that the Torah came from Sinai, which is my basic belief and the basic beliefs of this class, or even if you believe that it was written some later period, you can't help but notice the prescience of the Torah, that these things really came true for the Jewish people, that now, especially with Chabad, the Jewish people really are from one end of the earth to the other. It's really incredible to think that this small little people is really all over the place. So from one of the earth to the other, right in the verse, Ve'avadeta sham Elohim acherim, and you will serve other gods there, asher lo yadata ata ve'avotecha etz ve'evan, that you and your forefathers did not know. These are not gods that you are familiar with, and they're made of wood and stone. Vagayim hahem, but among those nations, even though you're going to worship their gods and you're going to assimilate, and again, the prescience of this is just incredible, lo targia, you're not going to be relaxed. Velo yamanoach lekaf raglecha, the exact same language as the dove. The dove did not find a resting place for its foot or its whatever claw, whatever it is. You, Jewish people, are not going to find a resting place for your feet among these non-Jewish nations from one end of the earth to the other. V'natan Hashem lecha sham lev ragaz v'chilyon inayim v'davon nafesh. And there God is going to give you a trembling heart, dashed hopes, and a depressed soul. And while we're living in a really nice period today, and we have the state of Israel, and that might be the beginning of us actually finding a resting place, we know pre-1948 that this really described the Jewish experience in the diaspora, right? And we're going to discuss that. And your life will be hanging in suspense before you. You're going to be afraid day and night, and you will not believe in your life. I think we just celebrated the whatever anniversary of the liberation of Auschwitz, right? So it's really, you know. Okay, and to make it even worse, we're going to descend into some despair before we get better at the end, please God. So we have from Eicha, from Lamentations, Galta Yehuda me'oni u'me'rov avodahi yashva v'goyim. Judah went into exile because of affliction and great servitude. And of course, this is the prophet Jeremiah describing the Babylonian destruction of the temple and the state of Jerusalem after that exile. He yashva v'goyim, she settled among the nations. Lo matza menoach, she found no rest. Korod feha hasiguha ben hamitzarim, all her pursuers overtook her between the boundaries. Okay, now to make it even more depressing, the last verse we're going to do for this part one, the depressing part of the class, this is from the book of Job, Iov. Sham rasha'im chadlu rogaz, there the wicked cease from anger. V'sham yanuchu yegiye choach. Okay, remember we said Yonah Matzah Bo Manoach, although the dove found a resting place in the song, but in the pasuk he didn't find a resting place. Here it's the exact quotation for the part of that chorus, V'sham Yanuchu Yigei Choach. There is the weary rest. They find rest for the weary. That expression from here, okay? Rest, no rest for the weary. So Yanuchu Yigei Choach. So there they do find rest. Here's a resting place, okay? But what is this resting place that Job is describing, where the wicked cease from anger and the weary rest? So if you look underneath at the Metzudat David, Raton Omar Masha et Avel Ishkon Bekever, that is to say, his desire to dwell in his grave. Hu Ba'avor Kisham Chadlu HaRashayim Meragzam, because it's in your grave that the wicked cease from anger. And there they no longer are angry or annoyed at people. So when do you find this rest from wicked people? when you die. And then Yegiei Choach, those the rest for the weary. Otam Shaya Kocham Yagav Aif, those who are exhausted, Min Ha'amal, from the workload, Hinesham Yishkanu B'minucha, here they can rest in the grave when they die. Okay? So this is one example. We see there's no rest for the Jewish people compared to the dove, for the Jewish people in this week's Parsha, in the diaspora, from one end of the earth to the other. What's our only hope thus far to find rest? When we die. Okay? It's not getting better yet. Okay. Well, yes, please God. Okay, so now, continuing on the bottom of the page, so we're going to see this is going to be repeated a little bit. So on that verse in Lamentations, oh no. Oh, you guys are still here, you're just not on there. Okay, everyone can hear me on Zoom?
It says rejoining.
Yeah. Okay, well, maybe I won't use that, and this seems to work. Anyway, I'm making it up. Okay. So, Eicha, Rabbah. So this is the Midrash, that collection of Midrashim on the Book of Lamentations, where we saw that line, that Lo Matzah Manoach, that they didn't find a place to rest with the exile. So Rabbi Yudan Bar Rabbi Nachamya, actually it's in English, I'll just read the English. In the name of Rabbi Shimon ben Levi said, had they found rest, they would never have returned to the land of Israel. So what's the silver lining of us not finding rest among the non-Jews? The silver lining is we didn't assimilate. We never would have made our way back had the world welcomed us back with open arms and just allowed us to assimilate, which we unfortunately do see happening today in America, that how many of the Jewish people have been lost to assimilation. So that is one comforting thought, that had they found a rest, they would never have returned. And a parallel to this, and it mentions...
This was between... This is comment they may never would have returned after the second temple? Or for the... For
this is the first temple. Yeah, like, but it's also...
I mean, like, they didn't really return for the second temple. Like,
meaning, had they found... Oh, that's true.
Efrat, anyway, because...
Right, more than half. A huge percentage. What Efrat is referencing is that when we did start rebuilding the second temple after the decree of Cyrus the Great, that the Jews could go back after the Persians defeated the Babylonians, a very small percentage actually went back to the land of Israel. We did find, but on the other hand, even though there was this great thriving community in Babylon that lasted until the 1950s in modern day Iraq, they truly never were able to assimilate because they were never fully accepted in that community. So even though they didn't go back, and maybe, you know, had they all gone back, maybe we'd have a very different Jewish history today. But so we still needed this no rest because we didn't go back. Okay, and then the Midrash quotes the pasuk in Bereshit of the dove finding no rest, and our pasuk in our parsha of our feet having no rest. So here you see those three psukim, those three verses that we learned together, all combined together in this Midrash of these examples of finding no rest. Okay, so first in Bereshit of the dove, which is compared to the Jewish people, then in our parsha, which is a prediction of what would happen if we didn't keep the mitzvot, and then in Eicha, oh, Rona, you can't hear me? You can't hear me because I am muted here. Sorry. We have to figure, okay, I'm going to not, okay. Whoa. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me? No? Okay, I see what's on. Okay. I'm unmuting. Okay, now you can hear me, right? Okay.
Yes.
So sorry about that.
You couldn't hear us either.
Right, because the D10 stopped working. I'm going to ignore the... We have this fancy computer, but it stopped working, so I'm going to ignore that. Hopefully it won't rejoin. If it does, we're going to get feedback, and then I'll just have to fix it. Oh, and I wasn't noticing in the comments, some of you were writing what you were muted. Sorry about that. Okay, thank you, Rona, for writing that aside. Okay. Okay, so I was just reviewing all the different sources we looked at and how they're all combined in this Midrash, which you had the English for, to show, so the dove, the prediction in our Parsha that we wouldn't find rest, and then the actuality of that happening after the destruction of the first temple in the Book of Lamentations. Okay, so Bereshit Rabbah, this is the Midrash collection on Bereshit, on the Yonah, and it basically just says the same thing, but in a different order, because it's focused on the Bereshit, Oh, wow. We have a lot of people. Okay. Okay. So for those of you who just came on, if you want to open up the source sheet, because you all got it in the email, if you want to be joined to my email, you can as well. Then you just read through you can read quickly through the sources that we saw. Okay, so, and then this source will also review everything for you and just put it in a different perspective. Okay. Technical difficulties, but now we should be good. Okay, so this is another collection of Midrashim edited by Buber. It's from a solitary singular manuscript from Aleppo, Syria. So, okay, and it's probably from 12th, 13th century, so pretty early Midrash. Haitahi Siman Lisrael. So this is the dove it's talking about, is a symbol for Israel. Kishem shelo matza hayona manoach lekaf ragla. Just like the dove did not find a resting place for its foot, kach Yisrael lo yia leha manoach begalut. So too, Israel will not find a resting place in exile. Shenamar v'lo yia manoach lekaf raglecha. As it says in our parsha, there will not be a resting place for your foot. Ukashem shayona shava alateva. So it's adding new information now. Just like the dove, when it couldn't find a resting place, returned to the mother ship, literally the ark. Kach Yisrael atidim l'shuv min hagalut la'artzam. So too, it's a symbol. It's telling us what's going to happen in the future. Yes, we won't be able to find a resting place, but we will be able to go back from the exile to our land. Mipnei avel ha-goyim, because of the cruelty of the goyim, shenim shalu lamayim, that are compared to water. And remember, if you go back to that original source in Yonah, if you look at the first source in your packet, what did the dove want to see? It wanted to see if the water had abated from upon the earth, okay? So the non-Jews, which this is all very strange because we usually think of Torah being compared to water and all these things. So it's offering us a different perspective that there's good water and there's bad water. So the non-Jews are compared to water. Shenamar, as it says in Isaiah, Havi hamon rabin kahamot yamim. So there will be this tumult of the non-Jews like the seas. Yamim here means seas in terms of a tumult. So there they're compared to water, but it's not the gentle water of the Torah. It's this crashing, tumultuous water that we're compared to. Okay, so now, this is so poignant, this next source. This is the Akedat Yitzchak, who I gave you a little biography at the end. He's Rabbi Yitzchak Arama. And look where and when he was born. Spain, 1420, okay? So he was part of the Spanish exile. He was part of the inferno of Spain, the expulsion of the Jews. That's what he lived through, okay? And he was exiled. His entire life was turned upside down. But he was a great rabbi, and he wrote this incredible commentary called the Akedat Yitzchak, the Binding of Isaac, which again, given what he lived through and seeing the deaths and torture of so many Jews is again very meaningful. And he, as I referenced and hinted to in the beginning of this year, this idea of the curses actually coming to fruition throughout Jewish history, he's seeing it with his own eyes in what's happening in Spain in the 15th century. So, and he comments on these verses, and it's just incredible to think of him reading these verses in the Torah and living through it. So here's what he says. So for those of you who are new to the class, it would take me hours if I translated everything. So whatever I can find online, I give you the translation in the source sheet, and whatever I can't, we translate together. So Ve'amar Ve'avad Tasham Elohim Acherim. So there you will worship other gods. And notice I said Elohim Acherim because it's not talking about God with a capital G, it's talking about lowercase God. Asher lo yadata atava avotecha etz va'aven. So this is the quote from our pasuk that we read right before we said they're not going to find a resting place, that you don't know, you or your fathers, wood and stone. Vadati amarza almashenit chadesh achar hakorban. So this is a novel thing after the destruction of the temple. V'lizeh amar shelo yadata atava avotecha. And that's the fact that you didn't know these gods, you or your fathers. Ki bemet haya davar hahu zar v'nifla, because this thing really was strange and wonderful, b'tachlit hazarut, in the basics of strangeness, ad shelo ya'amen ki yisuper, that you wouldn't believe when it was told that it was this whole exile is so strange. Umnam b'galut harishon lo ne'amar rak yolech Hashem otcha ve'et malkecha asher takim alecha al goy asher lo yedata. So he repeats the question, the pasuk, and he says this is not referring to the first exile, which was the Babylonian exile, where we basically were centered in Babylonia and Persia. Lefi sheba avodata bavlim, the inyanei tzal mehem kvar hayu yeduim lahem biyotem al admatam, because when they were exiled to Babel, they already knew their gods. They were familiar with the Babylonian gods. They'd been, you know, there was some sort of relationship. The conquering took a long time. There was already familiarity. And they knew them because they were on their land. Vavdum harbe shanim, and they worshipped them for many years. Umnam zo tavoda tia zara lahem bli safek. But the second exile would be completely strange. Ve'afki v'shneihem ashar yifreshu ketargumam. Even though both, you can take them as their simple meaning, the way the verses are written out. Hine be'amet zot avodah shenit yitachin sheyuvan kemashma'a. The second one is even more literal. V'sheomar kein alma shenimtza'u begalut hazeh. And you can even say that on what's happening on this exile, 15th century Spain. Kama alafim v'rivavot mi'Yisrael, all the thousands of Jews, shehechlifu shitatam, that they themselves exchanged their own system, v'hemiru datam, and they rebelled against their religion, l'sibat ha'gzerot asher nigzeru aleihem, because of the decrees that were put upon them. And anybody who knows basic Jewish history knows all the horrible decrees, or if you saw that Mel Brooks movie, right? that were decreed upon them, al hayotzim miklalam amar ve'avadta sham alohim acherim, to the point where they were worshipping in secret. They were, you know, they were worshipping strange gods. Asher lo yedata atav avotecha, that your forefathers didn't know. Shalze amar hanavi, and this is what the prophet Isaiah said. We'll just read it in English. For so said the Lord, creator of heaven, who is God, who formed the earth and made it, he established, he did not create it for waste. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord and there is no other. Not in secret did I speak in a place of darkness. I did not say to the seed of Jacob, seek me in vain. I am the Lord who speaks righteousness, declares things that are right. Assemble and come, approach together, you survivors of the nations, those who carry their graven wooden image and pray to a God who does not save, do not know. By myself I swore, righteousness emanated from my mouth, a word, and it shall not be retracted, that to me shall every knee kneel, every tongue so swear. So eventually everyone's going to come around to the one God, but this is talking about a time when they worship strange gods. I led a trip this summer for the second time of Mothers of Lone Soldiers. And one of the women on my trip, her parents grew up in Portugal. She moved to Canada when she was a baby. And she remembered that there was some chest of books in her attic that nobody could ever open, and it had to be top secret. And somehow she knew there were books in there. And she also, her mother told her that she remembers her father, so this woman's grandfather, having sessions on Friday night to study, but they were secret and nobody could know about them, and they were Friday night. This woman grew up Christian, Catholic. She moved to a rural place in Canada. When she went to college, she met her first Jews, including her husband, and she converted. And now her daughter's serving in the Israeli army. But I said to her, you need to do more research. You might not have had to convert.
Yeah, so I'm convinced. It sounds like she's Jewish.
Yes, if she's Jewish. Right, so you see, and this is also giving us a little hope about what's happening with the returning and maybe finding a place to rest, and now her daughter's in Israel. It's unbelievable. Okay, so continuing on, v'hakavana ki im she'inyan hazehu hayoter zar shebe'efsher. This is the strangest possible thing to happen to a people. Mikomakom b'derechahu yavo hakol etachlit ha'hakara. In any case, somehow even stranger, even more miraculously, everybody's going to come to recognize God. Ki lasof yavo kol basar lehishchachavot lifnei v'gomer. And continue quoting the passages, every being is going to come to bow before God. V'hine al elu hamachlifim shitatam. And those, like, he's basically talking about the cryptic Jews, right? That's what we call them, cryptos. We don't call them Muranos anymore because that means swine. Amar uvagoyim ha'hem lo targia, that you will not find rest among those nations. Vayu chayacha tluim lacha, and your life is going to hang before your eyes. Ki afal pi shenit arvu bagoyim ha'hem alagamrei, even though you're completely mixed with the non-Jews, you're not going to find any rest for your foot. They're going to curse you and they're going to degrade you. Tamid, always. They're going to think awful things about you and they're going to blame things on you. And they're always going to be suspect in their eyes. Lemit Yahadim, that you're really actually Jews when they forbade that, right? And that's exactly what happened in Spain. Umigalim alehem sakanot atumot, and huge dangers are going to be upon them. Kamoshaya bekol hamshech zman elu hachadushim, just like it's happening this whole time. Rav Yitzchak Arama is telling us from where he sits as an exiled person, Jew. Uma atab ismanenu ze asher ala ashnan, and this is very, like, if you read the curses, when you hear the curses in Shul, and the person who's reading from the Torah is meant to read them as quickly and quietly as possible because they are awful. And here, what he describes is no worse than what's described in the curses. He talks about their smoke going up to the heavens in all the kingdoms of Spain and the islands of the sea. A third of them were burnt in the fire. A third of them fled here and there. And here, the rest of them are hiding. And they're living in great fear. And fear of their heart, and whatever they see before their eyes. Ad asher yitzdak alehem kol elu hahagzamot behoter, until it's being actualized upon them all these curses that seemed like such an exaggeration. V'hine be'emet ma'ashamar b'goyim hayam lo targia, and truly what the pasuk says, you will not find a resting place or a resting place for your foot among the nations, and your life will hang in the balance. Ad sof hu tzodek, it's completely right. In general, of our exile, he goes on to describe them that it's not like the 10 tribes who were lost, because it actually wasn't so bad for them. They were completely assimilated. They did find a resting place. And that's why we have the lost 10 tribes, right? There's a whole organization called Shavei Tzion that's trying to reconnect them with their Judaism. And there's like a group in India called the B'nai Menashe that many of them have actually converted and resettled in Israel. So you have all of them. But they really did disappear. And we're just going to skip a little. And then he describes how this isn't just in Spain. This is all over the world. Shayu be'eretz Edom ve'Yishmael, and all the Christian nations, and Yishmael, all the Arab nations until now. Lulei rachmei Hashem v'chastav, if it weren't for, and it's amazing that he can use this language, if it weren't for the mercy and the chesed of God that he places, belev hamalachim, in the hearts of the kings, v'sarim and ministers, v'sar anshei omotahem, and the rest of the people of those nations, v'huma shekonenu Yirmiyahu, and this is what Yirmiyahu says, Judah went into exile because of affliction and great servitude, she settled among the nations, and again, found no rest. This isn't in the Hebrew, but it's, or he's quite right. He's not quoting from Jeremiah. Jeremiah wrote Lamentations, so he's quoting our verse from Lamentations that says, found no rest of all her pursuers, overtook her between the boundaries. Okay, so that is our perspective from the Spanish exile and how he took these curses, if you can imagine. Okay, another aspect of this, this I just took from Wikipedia. This is a famous thing about the Alter Rebbe, Rav Shneur Zalman of Liadi, that he witnessed the Napoleonic conquering of all of Europe and coming into Russia, and he was very opposed to a Napoleon victory in Russia, because he felt that as much as everybody would become freer and more comfortable, he thought that would be the end of the Jewish people. And in fact, the Enlightenment was part of that, and so he sided with the Tsar very publicly, Rav Shneur Zalman. And so it's very interesting. It goes along with this, the danger of finding a resting place. That's what the Alter Rebbe was afraid of, that the Jews would find a resting place under Napoleon and his rulership, and therefore he sided with the Tsar. Okay, now the Levush Mordechai, this is similar. He lived later than a couple hundred years later. We're working our way up. So 19th century Lithuania. He was the co-Rosh Yeshiva of Slobodka with Rabbi Natan Zvi Finkel, if you know those names, and he opened a branch of the yeshiva in Hebron. And so he lived through the Arab riots of 1929. He passed away in 1934. So he saw the rise of Hitler, but he did not see the Holocaust. And we're going to see what he said. So this is in his introduction to Baba Metzia, to the Gemara, but he references these curses from our parsha. Kiyum divrei hatochecha ubagoyim haham lo targiya. The kiyum, the establishment, the coming true of the rebuke, and among the nations you will not find any rest. Mofat ki hanhagat Yisrael hi ruchanit v'lo tivit. And this is a sign that the way Israel, the way we dwell in the world, is spiritual and not natural. Everything about the Jewish people is unnatural. Nifla hadavar ech nitkayam nevuatam betomam. It's absolutely incredible how all of their prophecies have been fulfilled in completeness. HaTorah Kedosha hi morah sha'ot. The Holy Torah is an instructor for it's timeless, I think is what it's saying. Asher yoshvei beit midrash ayidei HaTorah yuchlu latet amet mida kama netata svinat Yisrael min haderach. The way those who sit in the beit midrash, and this is what he did, he was a Rosh Yeshiva, that if you live your life to Torah, you can give truth to, you can see exactly how far the Jewish ship has leaned from the path. Okay? That's what he's saying, metaphor. Im nikra ba'ayin pekucha, if you read it with an open eye. Nir'eh kol asher yikrenu ata rashum b'ketav emet. You'll see that anything that's happening now, again, he's speaking with the rise of Hitler and everything that's going on, is written in the truth. U'betochecha namra ze yoter mishloshet alfei shana. And in this rebuke that was said more than 3,000 years ago, nitpazarnu mikteh haaretz v'ad kteh haaretz, we have been dispersed from one end of the earth to the other, which is even more true now. In shuma koma p'nei kador haaretz asher lo nifzar shama Yisrael. There is not one place on the earth that a Jew is not found there. Rov hakibbutz shel am Yisrael b'mekomot achidim. Well, it's true that most Jews are concentrated in certain places. Achamiut nitpazer al kol kador haaretz. There's a minority that is on the entire globe. Hinenu leza'ava lechol mamlechot haaretz. Behold, it is a horror in all of the kingships of the land. Hakol yodu ki beva Yisrael le'ez makom. This is so interesting. Everyone knew that in any place that Israel would come, to every place, yeshagsheg hamischar. I don't know if it's yeshagsheg or yeshagsheg, sorry. But the trade would become robust. Wherever the Jews went, trade would improve. Ubli shum tam hinenu lezava. But without any reason, it would become a horror for the Jewish people. Even how many places have we been kicked out and then invited back because they realized how much they lost out on not having us there? Yes, Russia's
coming down Aliyah.
Right, Russia's trying to keep, yes, because of the brain drain that happened in the 80s. Ach yad Hashem hi asher ein leza shum makom besecha. It's all the hand of God, and there's no way to intellectualize this. Nifla hu davar ech nitkayom banu ze shloshat afei shana. It's amazing how this thing has come to be after 3,000 years. Uvagoyim hahem lo targiya v'lo yom anoach l'kach raglacha. And he quotes our pasuk, you will not be comfortable, you will not find a place for your foot to rest. Chalfu harbe itim. Many times have changed, time has passed. Nishtanu harbe deyot. Many opinions have changed. Samchu deot v'chavirot sa'ar ba'le chayim asher gam al ha'ba'le chay yirachamu. People are much more aware of being nice to animals. But they don't want to be nice to speakers, to humans. And the Torah has made us so that we pursue. I think B'nai Sham here are the Semites, that they're pursuing us. Shum secha anashi lo haya yechol la'avin etzot. No human intellect could possibly understand this. Kasher Chala HaHaskalah. This is, remember, the Haskalah, when the Enlightenment period began. That's what Napoleon started, right? And this is what the Alter Rebbe was so afraid of. Lefam Sharu Shirim. The Jewish people sang songs. Ki avo yom asher lo ya nikar ish lifnei ra'ehu bishvil moldato. Because they thought that this would start a period that no man would be, you wouldn't differentiate between people and everyone would be equal. Ubemet lifi yaseko haya hatzadek itam. And it really did seem intellectually like this is what would happen. That's what would happen with the Enlightened period. Ach yoshvei beit midrash hem ra'u v'hamorah derech asher biyadam. But those who sit in the Beit Midrash, you know, especially with this report in the New York Times, everyone's so down on people who sit in yeshivas. But he's saying, no, those who sit in yeshiva and they study Torah all day, they knew what was going to happen. It says, you will not find comfort among the non-Jewish nations. And they said, even though intellectually, yes, you're right, this is what should happen, ach davar elokeinu yekum leolam, the words of our God endures forever. Ki im hasfina tat minei haderech, because if the ship is veering from its path, yichpetzu leitkarev la'amim, limtochein beinam, they're going to want to get closer to the non-Jewish nations and find favor in their eyes. And because they'll be comfortable and assimilated, they're going to transgress from the Torah. And then it will come to fruition that you won't find a rest for your foot. And Yechezkel, Ezekiel prophesies, you're going to want to be like the non-Jewish nations. You're going to want to emulate them. And you're going to want to be equal to them in rights. And they're going to forget that, no, they are different. Haya lo tia, it's not going to be. Biad chazaka b'chema shvulcha emloch aleichem. Ezekiel then continues to say, God is going to rule over us with a strong hand to bring us back. V'atan nira ki nevoat yoshvei ala Torah. You have to go teach? Okay, thanks for coming. Asher ra'u divrei nevoatam b'sefer ha-Torah. And now, those people who study Torah, they're seeing this come to fruition. Echlo shana kimalei hasara. These rebukes and everything that's going to happen, it's not even a hairbreadth's difference. It's all going to happen. Basher svinatenu lo telech al pi hashita tivit, because our ship does not go according to nature. Ach ayidei shita ruchanit, it's all spiritual, everything we do. Ayidei hanhaga gvoha, by way of a higher power. That's how the Jewish people live. So even though it made perfect sense that the Enlightenment would be good for us, it wasn't good for us. Okay, now we're transitioning into the positive. Okay? Okay, we've got time. So here, it's from the Gemara, Masechet Makot. And this is Makot, this is towards the end of Masechet Makot. And Masechet Makot, at the very, very end, has the famous story of Rabbi Akiva walking with his companions, and they see a fox running through the temple, and they cry, and Rabbi Akiva laughs, and he says, well, this is part of the prophecy of the destruction, and therefore the prophecy of the rebuilding is going to come true. So this is not this, but it's very close to that in the Gemara. So he says, there were four, Moses Artishu issued four decrees upon the Jewish people, and four prophets came and revoked them. And one of the decrees, I skipped the other three, is our Pasuk, and among those nations you shall have no repose. Jeremiah came and revoked it and said, even Israel when I go to cause him rest. And that is the Haftorah for the second day of Rosh Hashanah that we see. Okay, so now I'm going to give you a couple options for how we can find rest, where we see the same word. So the first one is Malachim Aleph, at the conclusion of the building of the first temple built by Shlomo HaMelech, King Solomon. So he says, he stood and blessed the entire congregation of Israel with a loud voice, saying, blessed be the Lord, who has given rest, asher natan minucha le'amo Yisrael, to his people Israel. According to all that he spoke, there has not failed one word of all his good word, and he spoke through Moses, his servant. So when did we first actually have rest? With the completion of the first temple, with Hashem's presence coming down in the clouds on the temple and the revealed presence of God, we had rest for those however many hundred years that the first temple stood. Okay, but clearly we don't have that anymore. So where else can we find rest? So this is from the first set of Ten Commandments in Parshat Yitro, Shmot Perkaf, Zachor et Yom HaShabbat L'Kadsho, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Sheshet Yamim Tazvod V'asita Kol Melachtecha. This should sound familiar to you all. We say this on Shabbos morning Kiddush. 6 days you worked, and on the seventh day, 6 days you work and do all your work. V'yom Hashvi'i Shabbat L'Hashem Elokecha. On the seventh day is a rest for the Lord your God. Lo Taseh Kol Melacha. Don't do any work. Atah Avincha V'itacha. You, your son, your daughter, Avdecha, your slave, amatcha, your maidservant, v'behemtecha, your animal, v'gercha, asher b'sharecha, and the stranger who lives in your cities. Ki sheshet yamim asa Hashem et ha-shamayim ve'aretz, because for 6 days God made the heavens and the earth, et hayam ve'et kol asher bam, the sea and everything in it, v'yanach, v'yom hashvi'i, and he rested on the seventh day. Al kein barach Hashem et yom ha-shabbat v'kidshehu. Therefore God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it. And now, we mention our song, Yom Shabbaton Ein Lishkoach. Don't forget the Sabbath day. This is written by Rabbi Yehuda Halevi, Spanish poet, way before the Spanish the expulsion from Spain, several hundred years before that. So he says, don't forget the Sabbath day. Zichur kereach nichoach. Remember it like a pleasing scent. Yona matza bo manoach. That's the day that the dove found a resting place. Visham yanuchu yigeyachoach. And there those who are exhausted will rest. So every week we have an opportunity, even in exile, please God, we'll find our true rest, replicating the King Solomon notion of rest when the third temple is rebuilt. But right now, through Shabbos, we have the opportunity to find that rest. And the Zohar even says, when did the dove return? What day of the week was it? That the dove actually, so the dove returned because he didn't find a resting spot, right? But then the second time, the dove brought an olive branch back and then went out to the world because it's inferred, it's implicit, he found a resting spot. And the Zohar says, when? Vida Erev Shabbos. This was Friday, right before Shabbos, that the dove found a rest. So even while we're living in Galut, but I think our day and time is very different from the two commentators that we saw, Rabbi Yitzchak Arama and the Levush Mordechai, who were living in very trying times. I think that we are seeing the beginning of finding the ultimate rest and redemption quickly in our day. So thank you, everybody. Okay, and sorry about the technical difficulty, everybody. And thanks for joining.